Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of May, recording at 9:22 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Stock markets. Nervous, but with a little bit of steadying, or I should say loss of downward momentum. Not without some exceptions, though. The Nikkei down 2%, and the market in India, though, big early sell-off, and then closed down fractionally near the highs of the day. And we had similar action like that in Europe with some weakness, a little bit of up-down, no big moves in percentage terms, quite quiet. That certainly isn't anything like an upward dynamic. And Wall Street's been sort of up and down, but then closed with minus signs, but again very minor. And other highlights, the downtrend consistency in the European government bonds has been broken, and we've seen a second day of pretty good rally here for the gilts and bunds. So a short-term recovery has commenced there, in line, no doubt, with the shock to the equity investors. And in the US dollar, firmer here today, following that key day reversal that we saw yesterday for euro dollar. And in the metals, firmer in here today. Gold up 12, silver rallying a bit as well. And well, they were all a bit steadier in here today. Okay, now where are we? Now the debate that's taking place is that a number of people are saying, well, this correction looks just like what we saw last November, and is they were looking at today's action and saying, well, that's sort of steadying up a bit, maybe it's all over. And then they look at some of the longer term charts, including the point and figures, and say, well, you know, it hasn't really done anything all that untoward, so maybe this is a buying opportunity. And to that I just say, yeah, but that was then, and this is now, and markets went higher. More importantly, interest rates went higher, both long-term and short-term interest rates, and industrial resources, or the metals at any rate, exploded upwards, and that revived fears of inflationary pressures. And then you have the central banks in what my friend Peter Bennett describes as a mouse and cheese situation here. The central banks are the mice. It's a mice and cheese situation, with the central banks being the mice and the liquidity being the cheese. And the mice are nibbling away a bit at the cheese. But you know who's nibbling even more at the cheese here? Are you and me, and anybody else who's taken some of the money off the table. In other words, cashed up some positions and has reduced exposure to leverage overall, because we've pulled that money out of the markets, adding selling pressure, or buying pressure in the case of where I've seen some fixed interest positions covered. And that money's being set aside temporarily. So my feeling really is that we're in the medium-term correction that I had forecast for Q2 and 3Q of this year. And it took over 5 weeks before it actually commenced, but it's commenced due to all the liquidity and the M&A activity that was sloshing around the system. But it commenced really quite sharply. And currently, what we see in here today resembles the old dead cat bounce, where we've had any form of bounce. And I will maintain the bearish stance until or unless I see those unequivocal upward dynamics that we have seen for each of the lows over the last many years. That could happen tomorrow. That would surprise me. It will happen at some stage, but I think markets at best mess around beneath their recent highs and then go lower. If I'm wrong, we'll see the upward dynamics. If I'm wrong, we'll see some of the stock market indices push up through their highs. But I don't think they're going to do that. You pay me to give you my views, and I'll be as frank as I possibly can on that. So I'm looking to actually increase short positions. I juggled around my stops a little bit. I need not have done so today, but I was seeing the DAX steady and eventually closed down on the day, and I was seeing the SMI steady. It closes earlier and had a modest gain in here today, and I thought my stops are a little bit too close. I could easily get hiked out by an inconsequential technical rally. So I pulled the DAX and the SMI. Remember, I shorted those on Friday. And put the stops back over the high. So I'll risk more if I'm wrong. But I don't want to get shaken out of positions that I think are fairly attractive, and I'd quite like to add to them. I'll add up on in the event of a modest rally, in other words, no upward dynamics. And I'll add on the downside if we just sort of hover around here for a bit in the dead cat bounce and then start to head lower once again. And in terms of overall action, I notice it's a favorite of mine. The J.P. Morgan Fleming Indian Trust had come off quite sharply, much more sharply than the Indian stock market. And so that's gone from a modest, small premium to net asset value back to a discount to net asset value. I think Bloomberg runs at least a day or two behind on that data, but be around at least 5% of a discount. Now, to my mind, that's good. Some of you who hold that, if you do hold that, will be very disappointed. I mean, I experience this profit erosion. It's come off about 16, 17% or whatever. But that, to me, begins to look enticing. But I'm not going to go rushing in yet because I think that there's too much scope for this to come, for markets to come down generally, and that could drag JII down further if there are more nervous holders out there. But the point I'm trying to make is that if one was even thinking about taking that out, and I said I wasn't going to do that. I was going to put on hedge shorts and not disturb my core long positions. In other words, that I was fully prepared to ride out a correction in that in that investment portfolio, because I'm only looking for a correction. So, what a point I'm trying to make is that it's for anyone who is thinking about, or anyone who looked at JII, that's the J.P. Morgan Indian Trust, and if they became depressed and felt an urge to come in and sell at this stage, I'd say you're doing it too late, and it's you would risk having difficulty, or possibly not having a meaningful difference in terms of additional downside, and then finding you're scrambling or paying up to get back in. Now, what else to mention here? The government bonds. I have said all along that I could not see a decent technical rally occurring until we had a stock market shakeout, and I think there's been enough fear in the air recently to start to trigger some of that short covering. I could have preempted it and saved myself a few grand additional profit. But my stops are reasonably tight, and I try not to be too clever in all this. Try not to make too many decisions. The original strategy had been correct. The tactics had been correct, and so I've been taken out of those. I still have my JGB shorts, and I still have my U.S. Treasury shorts. I could see the where you get another 0.75 point rally in the 30-year Treasuries, and I'll be stopped out of those as well. And that could happen in here. Now, elsewhere, this U.S. dollar. Again, this is interesting because, I'd said yesterday in the audio that we had what I sometimes refer to as one of those all change days or periods where everything that was going up suddenly there's a fright to the system, and often caused by stock markets, which suddenly move into a sharp counter trend reaction, and that frightens people. It sends shock waves around the globe that affect people in other markets as well. And I think that's pretty much what we've seen, and it's also a bit of the cascade effect that I had feared and referred to. Often not a big cascade so far, but well, gold has come back $55 so far. And now more about that in a moment. But so everything that was going up strongly has seen reactions, and everything that was going down sharply is beginning to firm up. I mean, my God, even old natural gas, my major embarrassment, that's firmed up in here today, although not dramatically. I live in hope. But back to the euro dollar. The euro had been so strong, really, the better way to phrase it perhaps would be that the dollar had been so weak. And then yesterday, we had the downside key day reversal by the euro. You can see that chart and comment of the day today. And of course, it's always in the library. And today, we've retraced not quite half of that decline. So no follow through in here. So maybe this is only a small pause and consolidation, and we will see. I certainly think the dollar is going lower later on, but maybe not just yet. And in the metals markets now, gold, I mentioned that coming down $55. Now, really, for years I've been saying, you get a correction. Well, for a long time I said, you get anything over $30, it's starting to look interesting. Get anything over $40, it's really getting quite interesting. You get anything over $50, it's extremely interesting in terms of buying opportunity. Now, I perhaps have to widen those parameters a little bit at these higher levels, and particularly following some upward acceleration that we had seen recently. But nevertheless, off $55, and obviously some people responded to this and moved in and picked up a bit of gold. Now, I haven't. I'm going to be a little bit more cautious in here because we just had seen a couple of days on the downside, and that was mainly one big hit in here yesterday, and a little bit of follow-through in here today before the rally commenced. Gold incidentally is trading now at 689 on the spot price, and I think it was up at 5, I beg your pardon, 730. So it's 689 right now. I'm just going to check that price. Excuse me here a minute. Can I talk and type at the same time? Yes, fortunately. So 730.4 was the high. So we're still down over just over $40. I'm in here. Now, why didn't I decide to go in? And the reason for that is what you often see with these corrections is you get a hit like that, which frightens a lot of people, and some of them get out, otherwise you wouldn't have had the sharp reaction. You know my philosophy: if you're going to panic, panic early, which is why I had jammed my stops up. And therefore, what will happen is that, let's say there'll be quite a few people who ride out the correction and are quite nervous. And then they see the market starting to pick up again, and it starts to get within sight of that previous high, and then they say, that's enough. And they come in and sell. And maybe even before they decide to do that, the people who have been bidding the market up get cautious because they know that it had fallen sharply from the peak that it's approaching. So they'll be thinking, maybe lightning does strike twice in the same area. And so they become a little cautious. So the demand dries up, and then a little bit of selling pressure comes in. And hey, presto, you get your second reaction, which goes down and retests the reaction low and often goes a little bit below it. So I'm kind of hoping it plays out that way to give me a chance to buy some gold closer to the 650 or even lower level. And I'll do it on a baby steps basis as I normally do when establishing positions. But I think gold's going a whole lot higher here in dollar terms and against all other currencies as well. This is one of my big themes. And I think, as I've said before, I think gold's the new copper. That comparison, because copper had had such the dramatic move on the upside. Had a pretty good day in here today as well, in terms of weakening early on and then picking up strength. But if we just have a lull here, a temporary lull in stock markets before they head lower, as I suspect, then as that takes place, that unleashes or triggers a little bit more cascade effect, or that's quite possible at any rate. That's my best guess at this stage. And again, don't take what I say as sort of a law inviolate here. These are tricky times, and one's looking at psychology and past history, so it's not easy to call a little short-term swings in an environment like this. But I think you can see the behavioral point that I'm trying to make, and I think there's good chance that we get additional selling pressure, which pulls these markets back down a bit. I certainly don't look at any collapse, and please, no one else need send me that bearish report by Stephen Roach on commodities. I may summon up the masochism to comment on it tomorrow. But really, all I'll say here is, I'm always a bit suspicious of analysis. I mean, I'm sure Stephen Roach is a lovely guy, and writes well. But I'm always suspicious of analysis that comes from people who will be on the sidelines, never once comment on the upside potential in a bit of a no-brainer situation like the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. And then it reaches a certain point, and you get all sorts of heavy warnings and screams about bubble and downside risk. Well, that's fine. You just free press, say whatever you want, and if it causes people to sell these things off so that I can buy them a little bit. A little bit lower, so much the better. But really, the point is, where was the buy recommendation? We're getting all the, and this is hazardous to your wealth warnings now. When did those people, as they say, put out the buys? Now, if somebody like Donald Cox turns around and turns bearish, then or Mark Faber, then I would have to think again, or re-examine my. I'm not that slavishly following their views, but I respect them is the point I'm trying to make. I respect their analytical forecasts, and I would put my own views under a little closer scrutiny. Okay, enough on that. I'll climb out of my pulpit and on to energy. And well, we've seen that oil dipped down back underneath the $70 level, edged up a little bit here right now, 69.57, but still under that $70 level. It looks like a ranging consolidation above the larger trading range. In other words, top of the former range is straight around the 70 level. So there is some technical support in here. Small bearish point is the fact that in the last two declines that we've seen this month, it's come down more quickly than it's gone up, suggesting a little bit more aggressive selling pressure in there. And in another stock market slide, could oil come lower quite easily, quite probably come a little bit lower. But again, all these resources are in secular bull markets overall, and what we're talking about is flushing out some of the leveraged tight money that doesn't want to risk much, as with my own position in gold, and the nervous holdings. I guess that applies as well. And I think that's pretty much it, except I need to mention that I do have the chart seminar, which I will be conducting. But both Owen and I will be there, and he'll be assisting. And so we will have very little, if any, copy on the Thursday and Friday. It's the only time of the year when you don't get a full fuller money service, holidays, notwithstanding, of course. But we will be in, and I will certainly be doing an audio on both the Thursday and the Friday. It'll be a very hoarse and croaky voice, but the show goes on, but in an abbreviated fashion. Meanwhile, all the best.